next case then is Northeast Nebraska Public Power District versus Nebraska Public Power District. Again, this is Northeast Nebraska Public Power District versus Nebraska Public Power District. The appellant may come forward. Go ahead.
Your honors, may it please the court. Counsel, my name is Corey Wasserberger, along with Kyle Johnson and John McClure. I represent Nebraska Public Power District, the appellant in this case. Your honors, the appellant respectfully requests that this court dismiss the action and find that the district court and this court lack subject matter jurisdiction over appellee's claims because they are not ripe. If this court determines that subject matter exists based on the present record, then appellant respectfully requests that this court reverse the district court's grant of summary judgment in favor of the appellee and find in favor of the appellant with respect to its motion for summary judgment. This court lacks subject matter jurisdiction over the pending claim because it's not ripe. The relief sought by Northeast Nebraska Public Power District amounts to little more than a preemptive lawsuit. In truth, this is NPPD's contract action, potential future contract action, brought over 5 years before the claim could even have arisen. In other words, this was a race to the courthouse. And as the Nebraska Supreme Court noted in Ryder Truck Rental versus Rawlings, a court should not grant declaratory relief to a party who is simply in the position of one expecting to be sued and who desires an anticipatory adjudication at the time and place of its own choosing of the validity of defenses it expects to raise. NPPD is the one, who should be able to choose beginning in 2019 and after. If it is going to bring a contract action against Northeast regarding the the terms of the wholesale power agreement. In addition to the timeliness of the lawsuit, the fact of the matter is this court lacks subject matter jurisdiction over the claim because the harm identified by Northeast is neither immediate nor great.
Counsel, can you distinguish this action from Nebraska Public Power District versus Mid-American Energy that was cited by the appellee?
Yes. In Mid-American, the issue there was decommissioning funds relating to Cooper Nuclear Station. And the total amount at issue was somewhere around $500 billion. The two parties in that lawsuit had already contributed $150 million to a joint fund, and the dispute was 3 years away from the time when the dispute would be more timely, for lack of a better term. And despite that three-year distance, the size of the amount at issue worked a present harm on both parties' ability to plan. The parties did not know what the outcome was going to be with respect to this decommissioning fund, and that prevented both of them from being able to plan for the decommissioning of Cooper and would affect their day-to-day operations moving forward in a very tangible way. Here, completely different. The Northeast Nebraska Public Power District had no hesitation to enter into the contract in December of 2013 with Big Rivers Electric Corporation from Kentucky, which it did. Now, it did that after NPPD had corrected its prior position with respect to the meaning of this contract phrase. This isn't the situation where Northeast is coming to court and saying we are unable to decide what to do with respect to our future power supply in terms of contracting with other parties. They took the steps, given all the uncertainty there, and there is no uncertainty with respect to what's going to happen at that time. They are going to be taking power either from NPPD or from the supplier in Kentucky. The issue is whether they will be bound under the terms of this contract as well, and that is NPPD's contract claim.
Doesn't that put them in the position of potentially having to take or at least pay for more power than they need if they don't get this resolved?
As with many contract disputes, the issue, assuming in 2019, if this case were dismissed in 2019, If Northeast withheld a portion of its wholesale power bill from NPPD, that would give rise to the contract claim which NPPD at that time would have. And if they did pay it out at that time, there is no evidence in this record to show that that is of a sufficient size and magnitude to warrant the declaratory relief which it seeks.
What size would it have to be?
Well, it depends on the organization in part. This is not I don't think there can be a bright line rule that a dollar figure per se warrants declaratory relief.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought you acknowledged in your brief that we were talking somewhere around $1 million in this case, or just short of $1 million.
In our brief, we clarified that according to the working papers, which is unfortunately only part of the story, of Northeast Nebraska Public Power District's general manager, it was not $1.2 million as they had originally alleged in their complaint, but at most was only $990,000.
So roughly $1 million just isn't enough.
Well, what we don't have is what that means to an organization the size of Northeast Nebraska Public Power District. It didn't allege facts in the complaint, and it didn't present evidence to the district court about why that number is significant to an entity of its size. Quite frankly, it didn't prevent them, this dispute, which they were aware of, did not prevent them from entering into the contract with the Kentucky supplier.
But the facts aren't really going to change. I mean, if they bring this action now, or they bring this action the action gets brought in 2019, aren't the facts the same?
Well, no one knows the future, and when this was filed back in 2014, there were any number of possibilities, things that could happen between that date and 2019, which is...
Such as?
Such as the Kentucky power supplier could have not been able to fulfill its obligation to deliver power supply at that time. This is a very unusual circumstance where a public power district in Nebraska is seeking supply from not only an out-of-state supplier, which does happen, but a supplier that is in a different regional transmission organization. A regional transmission organization is a regional body that coordinates and governs the transmission of power supply. Nebraska sits in the Southwest Power Pool. That's the RTO that we are a part of. The Kentucky power supplier is in an entirely different RTO, MISO, Mid Intercontinental, forget the rest of the acronym, apologize. There are numerous issues in terms of transferring that power supply across the boundaries between these two organizations, which is one of the issues relating to the discovery order where NPPD was not allowed to look at and really do an apples-to-apples comparison of the material terms under the contract. And the affidavit of Rod Rennie, which was offered in evidence as Exhibit 2, in detail goes through the specific issues that need to be compared to give a full and accurate assessment of what the difference between these two power supplies are. Now, if this was a contract claim in 2019 or after, that contract with the Kentucky supplier is not relevant. It's only relevant because Northeast Nebraska Public Power District is coming here in an early fashion and trying to win the race to the courthouse, to have this adjudicated at a time and place of its own choosing. And the other issue is that 2019 is only the first year that this could be an issue. And in 2019, if the working papers were accurate, that would only be a $220,000 dispute at that time. There is also a difference in the amount between NPPD's interpretation of the contract and Northeast's interpretation of the contract in 2020 and also 2021. Those 3 years together would reach that $990,000 figure. So it's not even a $990,000 controversy beginning January 1 of 2019. That would be at the end of 2021.
Is the contract ambiguous?
Contract is not ambiguous.
Can you explain then how you come up with one interpretation after doing extensive research and then take a completely different position? Originally you gave them one answer.
There was a mistake in the first communication, the May 30th email, was wrong, and NPPD corrected it. Fact of the matter is, this is the first time that this provision of the contract had ever been used. And the mea culpa that came along with it was what it was. They corrected it once it became obvious that there was a mistake. Now,
who wrote the contract?
That is actually an issue which was not proper for summary judgment. There was the affidavit of Rod Rennie, which I believe was received as Exhibit 8, talked about the fact that this wasn't a contract of adhesion purely drafted by NPPD. This was the product of negotiations between NPPD and its wholesale power supply customers, including the Nebraska Generation and Nebraska Electric Generation and Transmission Organization, the NEGNT, which Northeast was a part of at that time. This was a complex negotiation, and obviously this provision was one that was particularly important to the wholesale power customers at that time. This was not the type
finish your answer.
Thank you. This is not the type of contract provision wherein NPPD was gaining a benefit in the 20 years under this contract. This is a contract provision that gave their customers a right to pull away from NPPD. And it was the product of complex negotiations.
Thank you. All right. And if you'll add the time to the appellee that was added. All right. You may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Steve Davidson here on behalf of Northeast Nebraska Public Power District. David Levy, my partner, is with me at council table. I'll talk about rightness first, since that was NPPD's focus. And to me, the first thing to keep in mind on rightness is that we're talking about a different question factually now than was the case at the time Judge Kubi ruled on this issue, because the law is that rightness is evaluated based on the facts as they exist now at the time of this appeal today, not the facts as they existed earlier. And though we think the judge was correct that even earlier there's really no issue as to rightness, really the issue has completely resolved itself now, because in the interim period, Northeast withdrew from the Nebraska G&T Cooperative, signed the contract with NPPD, gave the notice to limit and reduce, and now we're simply waiting for that 3-year period to end, and we're about halfway through it.
Is all that information in our record?
Yes, absolutely. It's notice and all that stuff are exhibits to the deposition of Mr. Curry, the later part around Exhibit 16, 15, that range.
Thank you.
So, you know, the question is on rightness, is there enough contingency in the facts such that there's no case in controversy? It's too early. And whatever contingency existed when we filed, which we think was still not enough to prevent a decision, those have all gone away. All of the uncertainty that would alter the legal and factual context in which your decision about what this contract means gets made, those are all resolved. There's no more facts to happen. They've all occurred. It's a legal question of contract interpretation about a contract that exists and a notice that has been given. Really, what we're here about now is what's the effect of the notice that when it comes into place in another year or so. What sense would it make to go back, you know, come back here in a year on the same record, relitigating the same issues, when the test of rightness is clearly met? The question is the issue fit for decision? It is, because of the nature of the contractual question at issue, and the fact that we know what the facts are.
Could you come back in a year and seek damages instead?
Well, the problem is all the damages are going to happen now. We have, the test is not just what's the monetary harm, but what's the operational harm. And remember, this is a question of from what source Northeast will acquire wholesale power. To plan for, that's the primary function of this organization, is to obtain wholesale power and distribute it to rate-paying customers. To not know whether that's going to come through NPPD's transmission system or from a different supplier in Kentucky as Mr. Wasberger said, coming through a completely different regional transmission organization, all sorts of logistical and planning work that needs to be done to set the table for those circumstances to implement themselves. And to place Northeast in the situation where we have to wait until the harm happens to us and live with this incredible operational uncertainty for several years, when there's no reason to not have an answer to the legal question of what the contract means now so that harm can be avoided. That's exactly what this ripeness test is all about. Not just that it's a $1 million issue, but that it causes harm from pending uncertainty if we sit around and wait for MPPD to sue us. As soon as MPPD sent that letter saying, no, we've changed our mind, this contract means something different than what you've planned your operational existence around now for several years, that was the fact that triggered our legal right to seek declaratory relief, because that then created a difference of opinion as to what the contract means on an issue of obvious monetary significance to the organization, and one which threatened its operational stability over a period of several years. These issues are ready for you to be decided. Judge Kuby, if you read his opinions, look at the record, everything you need to decide this contractual issue exists, and the ripeness test allows you to do so now. So I want to spend now a couple minutes talking about what the contract means.
Would that be the ambiguous or unambiguous contract?
This is the unambiguous contract. You've got, and there's good law from the Supreme Court saying the fact that both parties tell you it means something different doesn't mean there's ambiguity. And the reason I think the judge got this one correct is, as far as the existence of ambiguity, is that notwithstanding, you know, the complexity of this paragraph and the length of the contract, there's really one phrase that turns this case, and it's the meaning of the phrase ending date of a previous reduction. That's not an ambiguous phrase. It means when did the reduction end? If it ends, then this alternative way of calculating the years kicks in. But if the previous reduction does not end, then that section of the contract, the little 2i paragraph, is not triggered by the events of this case. And what Judge Kuby said, he looked at the contract, he said, what does ending date mean? And you look at the dictionary, you look at the plain, natural, ordinary meaning of the term ending date, and there's no ambiguity there. It means if a noticed reduction goes away and stops. In the circumstances of this case, the reductions that have been noticed by Northeast do not end. They've been noticed through the term of the ending term of the contract at the end of 2021. And when the reductions do not end, as is the case here, then the calculation is triggered by the first clause of that calculation of the contract, where you look to the number of years between 2010 and 2018. It's either 8, 9, or 10, depending on what year we're talking about, and that gives us plenty of flexibility to implement the 30% reductions in each year. And as you think about ambiguity in this context, I would encourage you to look more broadly at what's the purpose of this provision in the paragraph, and there's really no dispute about that. It's to give the customer flexibility to leave NPPD and buy its wholesale power from somebody else if it's in the interest of its rate-paying customers to do so. The provision says that the wholesale customer can reduce for any reason. It's purely in the customer's discretion. They can reduce up to 90% of their base load. So it's really an opportunity built into this contract to take the business and go somewhere else. And the governing concepts of how that happens are, number one, you have to give MPPD longer notice to reduce in a greater amount. And that makes sense because, you know, there's operational planning that MPPD has to do if the loss of load is going to be larger over time. So if you're going to reduce a smaller amount, you give a shorter notice. If you reduce a longer amount, you give a longer notice. That's concept one.
Sorry to interrupt you in the middle of concepts, but in relation to its customers, realistically, would a customer reduce and then go up?
There's all sorts of circumstances where that might happen.
Okay.
This is a 20-year contract. You've got the last 13 years where this right to reduce exists. And it's an annual notice. So you can give notice for 1 year of reduction. You can give notice for 2 years. And then you can stop giving notice. And then the base obligation, which is to purchase full requirements over that 20 years, kicks back in. So say, for example, you have the ability to purchase cheap power from another source, but only over a short period of time, because that other source has lost, you know, a big customer and doesn't have another one coming in, and there's a two-year gap. So there's a temporary period of cheap power that is out there. That might encourage a customer to say, look, we'll reduce for a couple years, then we'll stop noticing further reductions, and we'll come back the way the contract allows to the base requirement of being a full requirements customer. It's consistent with statute in Nebraska, section 7626, which requires that NPPD, if it has available power, it requires NPPD to sell power to a wholesale customer in Nebraska, a Nebraska municipality or district, that asks to buy it. NPPD has no choice but to make that sale as a matter of law. And what this contract does, and it was a negotiated term, it gave the customers flexibility to take advantage of those types of temporary scenarios that may come up. And you know, this case is a good example. You know, if the contract means, as we contend, NPPD is going to lose some load from a wholesale customer over a couple years. It's going to give NPPD some excess capacity. They may want to sell that to somebody else over a short period of time, and there may be a reason to, you know, have a sale of power, and it'll be a little bit cheaper because they got to get rid of that power over a temporary period of time. We think those are the kinds of circumstances that this provision was meant to address. It was also, I'll save that thought. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, I will call the next case, but then I will excuse myself from it. The next case is Hum.